that will hereby call this common council meeting to order, please, if you would stand. We'll say pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A moment of silence, please. Thank you. May we see it? Roll call, please.
District one, Counselor Mo Luddington.
Here.
District two, Counselor Tom Sells.
He's absent.
District three, Counselor Dave Furby.
Here.
District four, Counselor Lisa Friend.
Here.
At large, Counselor Missy Wiggins.
Here.
And when you're ready, I'll entertain a motion to approve the last council meeting's minutes.
So moved. One second.
It has been properly moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the last council meeting. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Approval of the agenda. Are there any additions tonight?
Can we just add commercial blight just for just an economic paper?
So we'll put that under new business. Or do you want to discuss that in your blighted houses?
And yeah, that's blight? Yeah, great. That's it.
Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. At this time, we'll go into public concerns. Each person may have 3 minutes max per concern. And the floor is open. Yes.
On behalf of Jim Nunez, 528 South Main, on behalf of WCCPC, we'd like to thank in public to the city and police department and the park department for the fantastic outing that we had for the Easter egg hunt. Very well attended. Winchester has always had a good attendance in the Easter egg hunt. And this year was no different. And what adds to this year's event was the police department doing their ID. People are getting used to them. They started it last year, didn't have as many as they did this year. More people was, we try to get that word out to the public. And they just want us to continue that with the police department and the street department having the restrooms. And even though it's a little wet, which in my age group is okay because I'm in the tennis court, so we appreciate, WCCPC appreciate everything that the city does to keep this function going as a tradition.
Thank you, Jim, for your commitment to preserving the culture of our city. We appreciate you as well. Anyone else?
Yep. Joe Nashley, 421 Southeast Street, Winchester. My concern is on Will Street. There's parking, no parking on the south side, starting at Southeast Street to Main Street. None from Main Street to South Meridian. Then it goes no parking all the way from North Meridian. South Meridian all the way down to Jackson. There's no parking all the way down to the school. So my concern is that street wide enough from South Meridian to Main for emergency vehicles to get down? Should it go back to maybe another no parking sign up there? And plus, the curbs are not painted yellow either for space for vehicles and emergency vehicles to turn. So I was wondering if that was in the plans of looking at safety issues for public, kids walking, me visiting, golf carts, up and down there.
Well, we'll certainly take a look at it. You're the first to bring that up, as far as I know. Appreciate you bringing that up.
Back in the day, it was a four-way stop there.
Tell me where that's at again.
A corner of Will and South Meridian.
Oh, I get, yeah. That's not a four, yeah, that's right, it's not a four-way anymore.
Yeah, it used to be, but it's an idiot.
There used to be no parking signs, that was just, well, they were taken down and fallen down years ago, about 10 years ago.
When they're parking on my mom's side, they're tearing up the curves, so. So the street's not wide enough, actually, and our school buses run down it.
Thank you. Any others? Okay, there being none, I'd like to introduce Elton Solomon to speak tonight on a proposed Winchester Drug Advisory Council charter. Elton?
Thank you, Mayor. City Council members, appreciate you letting us come tonight. It's on the agenda, so you might not have much of a choice, so I'm glad to be here anyway. I'm here to talk about a recommendation that we're putting forth to create the Winchester City, or Winchester Substance Abuse Advisory Council. Let me give you a little bit of context of this. Missy Williams of the City Council spoke with me just shortly after the February 20 City Council meeting about the value of putting together some type of city task force or city advisory council related to the substance abuse issue in Winchester specifically. And this kind of came out of the Winchester House and the overall issues. It's the substance abuse issues that we're dealing with here in this city is significant, everything per proportion. Ms. Williams and the mayor and myself have met several times, and we have verbalized several constructs to consider, and that's why I'm here. I'm not asking for a vote or approval of anything, but kind of an open discussion and some direction in the process that we're trying to put together. First construct is this kind of body or group is supported in the 2016 Indiana Association of Elected City and Towns Official Handbook. Let me give you just a copy of where that's found in there, and I'll direct your attention to that. Missy, I don't think you've seen this yet, but she's unable to meet. Mayor, did you want a copy of this? I'm good giving you a copy of this. Meeks, how about you?
Thank you.
Okay, I'll get honey. So as you look at it, I want to focus your attention on the city, on the council committee section of this handbook. I've underlined the fourth paragraph. Although not specifically authorized by any statutes, many councils may have created a third type of committee, not part of the common council, known as an advisory committee or citizens advisory committee. Such committees are usually created for specific concerns of the city and a recognized method for stimulating citizen participation in the local government discussion, making, decision making process. These committees often provide viable public input and are frequently employed to address issues that may become particularly troublesome for the community. And then it goes on in terms of appointments to such committees are provided for an ordinance or resolution that establishes the advisory committee, and goes on to talk about that process. We think that establishing an advisory council under this structure is not a bad idea. And to work within that structure, within this handbook, the second construct is that there's a need for charter. Now, charter is a document outlining the conditions under which this committee is organized and which defines its rights and privileges. The city of Winchester has, it is said, has a specific need for this kind of issue with the Winchester House coming in, the Journey Home here, the opioid overdose within the county. This is a long-term issue. It's not going to go away anytime soon. And specifically with the Winchester House coming in and the Journey Home, the state's looking at Winchester as a community leader. And we need to make sure that we know what we're doing and that we have a clear understanding of what the issues are. And if we're going to ask the state of Indiana, even the federal government, to take us seriously and give us some support, we need to act like we know what we're doing. We need to know what we're doing in this process. So developing a charter committee has significant value for the city of Winchester. The third construct is we need the city council's involvement in developing this charter. So what we've done so far, again, let me just give you the first step in the charter that we have put forward.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'll retain it because your mind is not complete.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Yes,
thank you. But we'll discuss it with the council. So you see, in terms of a charter, there are several components to what we're looking at. We're looking at curating and making sure that we have the proper purpose and key responsibilities. And we've identified that preliminary. The purpose of the Winchester City of Substance Abuse Advisory Council is to establish best practices in measuring performance of evidence-based practice in substance abuse treatment. The key responsibility of this council is to safeguard and promote city resources in combating substance abuse and promoting a healthy community. So the advisory council would be to advise the city. This is where the issues are. This is where the measures are. And develop some advisory strategies of how the city might move forward in addressing these issues. From this advisory council, you would see come out of that subgroups in terms of short projects, task force. But that would be the development of that would come out of the work that the advisory council would put forth, giving the city that kind of direction. The vision to use community resources, community collaboration, and community expertise in bringing the best science and research and the best talent and experience in advising city government on substance abuse issues and value and prefer substance abuse treatment. We want to use language that the feds are using, evidence-based practices, science, research, measurables, values, preference, so that this kind of language would be of interest to the state and the federal government, and realizing that we know what we're doing. And the great thing is that we have people in this that live in this community that understand these principles and concepts, and can put forth the best practice efforts that we need. Core values. First, best practice. Evidence-based practice is what the Affordable Care Act measures, their reimbursements, the state measures their reimbursements and funding of grants, objectable measures, performance-based. Within the treatment community, we are moving away from what's called service fee for services or service-based measurables to what's called performance-based measures. And the mental health community is moving in that direction, and we need to make sure that we move in that direction as well. We want to have core values of what kind of funding opportunities, state, federal, other foundation, funding sources that are there. and then a conduit, a connector of resources. Who's out there? Who can be a part of this process? And what kind of accountabilities do we need to make sure that we are measuring that up to? I'm real excited in practice and in theory of the Winchester House coming in here. But we've been lucky so far. It came pretty sudden, pretty quickly, and would like to, in the future, probably recommend that we have more accountability and oversight and eyes and ears on processes like that that's coming in here. I think that Volunteers of America is a very reputable company, but there are not always reputable companies that want to come in and provide services. So we need to be able to really have some good eyes and ears on what that accountability looks like. We did not feel that we could proceed forward. Mayor and I met last Monday to kind of go over the Winchester City Substance Abuse Advisory Council structure, the meeting, charter authority, the council authority, elections. We didn't really feel like we wanted to proceed forward on establishing the language of this charter until we sat in front of the council. I'm here to educate the council on the value of this type of charter, answer questions, and give direction on how to proceed. If you tell me tonight that this type of advisory council is not needed in Winchester, then our work is done. And I'm okay with that in context of the work that we've put forward. If you tell me tonight that this type of council is in fact a good idea, it's needed, it's important, it's justified, then our work has just begun and we need some direction. Advisory council structure, substance abuse, in terms of what kind of structure we would like to have, the city would like to have on this council. I mean by a structure, I mean by individuals who best serve those needs. It doesn't have to be citizens of Winchester. It can be anybody that would be willing to participate on that board that has the expertise. And I'd be more concerned about having the right person on that board that has the knowledge and expertise to meet my needs than just filling seats. You got substance abuse issues impact treatment, the types of treatment, best practice treatments, evidence-based practice treatments, the justice system. I think of the recent meeting with Dave Daly, who's the prosecuting attorney. These issues ring true to him in very different ways than it does me as a provider. Or Sheriff Tucker. We need individuals on that kind of advisory council that can speak to those issues. Neighborhood, it affects neighborhood, churches, school, education system. The list can go on and on and on. Fighting this academic is going to cost money. We want the charter, and with that, I feel those that work at this field of this charter needs to be funded. We need to seek funding to the state to make this happen. Which means we need to consider paying the council members a stipend or per diem for their work. Now there's a reason for that. Citizenry and volunteers really great. The substance abuse issues that we are facing are very complicated and require a specific expertise. And volunteers are wonderful, but volunteer time is always at a premium. If you think about it, I volunteer in the community, but I don't mean to, but I put my volunteer at the back burner sometimes. I have an obligation that requires me to take care of my family or an employment obligation, I'm going to put my volunteer at the back burner. People volunteer for the journey home all the time. It's wonderful, and I appreciate that. But they're not always reliable in terms of timelines. And I don't push them because they're volunteering. And we get put on the bottom of the list. I don't think we need to put this issue at the bottom of the list. Of the issue, and I think that it's big enough that we can approach state and federal funding sources to help us find resources to pay commissioners to the expertise, individuals to be on this board, and expect them to put forth the effort that they need. That's what we're working on. I think it's a great idea. Missy and Mayor and I think it's been a good idea, but we need your questions, we need your input, we need your direction. Any questions tonight? Direction you want to give?
It seems to me if you're going to start this, which I think is a good idea, we need a person from the schools, we need a person from the police department, we need a person from the medical field, and I'm sure we'll think of more avenues like that, but just my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
How many people are you thinking should be on this?
Well, you know, I think that the number needs to be manageable. The number of those individuals on there is not nearly as important as making sure we get the right persons on there, that we're all, and this is why the charter is so important, that everybody on that board doesn't have their own agenda, that the agenda that we give them is the agenda that the charter creates. And I think it's important to take both of yours, your input is identify in the community what are the pressing issues, and make sure that we have individuals on the board that hits those pressing issues, the school system, the justice system, treatment issues, neighborhood issues, and then identify work after the charter's complete, and we can put in there that the advisory council needs to have individuals representing these issues. And this is kind of where we need that direction from. Is it schools, justice system, law enforcement, treatment, wherever those issues are, and then we need to go find the best persons for that. We need to go ask Dave Davis, the prosecutor attorney, to be on this advisory council. Is that where we need to focus on? A Sheriff Tucker or somebody else in that regard, or go outside of the area to find those resources. So how many we have on that, on the council, is going to be dependent upon what our charter directs us. So that individuals that come on the charter, onto the council, doesn't come on with their own agenda.
How often are you wanting to meet?
As often as it needs. And that's where the funding needs to come into play.
I think they also, excuse me, if it can be found as a person who's been faced, our family's been faced with substance abuse, mm-hmm. they can tell you firsthand mm-hmm. better than I can or any of us can.
Yeah. And that's why I wrote down here, you know, in terms of the issues that it impacts treatment, how treatment's done, justice system, neighborhood, churches, those kinds of things. Is it something that you would like Missy and the mayor and I to continue to work on? Create the structure, taking the input, and then putting it before you for further input and direction?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we need a vote on that? Or?
No. We're not here to. I don't know. I think the purpose of this is to make sure we didn't put the cart before the horse. And if there is going to be funding involved in this, if that impacts city council involvement. And what we don't want to do is create a city council or a city or a Winchester advisory council for substance abuse that the city council doesn't support. That would be a waste. Wasted everybody's time and energy. Mayor Losacha, that city council would like us to continue working on this, on the process, and you know, you've got to give us some clear direction on those issues.
Yeah, and if you have any questions or anything you think of, don't hesitate to contact myself or Missy or Elton. And we'll just keep moving. We'll bring something back to you when we get something completed.
Missy, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think it's important to have school people on that, like Dave said.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That brings us to new business. Item A, John Deere, hay buster and shredder. Superintendent Bosworth, what is a John Deere hay buster and shredder, sir?
Oh, it's just, the shredder, all it is our grinder for our compost, and the hay buster, I think that's when you lay your hay down if you have a large area you're trying to regrow grass with. Tub grinder, whatever you want to call it, but they've been sitting out there, and the guys have all asked about them. Said they've been asked about them for years. They never use them. They just sit there, and we just thought they were in the way, and we'd like to put them in the paper and advertise them. Vicki was nice enough to print the numbers off for me, so to see what we should be looking for. But I was just trying to give your guys it okay to advertise them and see if anyone's interested in placing bids on them. So we can make more room out there. Yeah, it'll just sit there and rough. So.
So my question, I guess, is to Vicki. I asked you this earlier, but so if we do decide to sell them, where does the money go? Who gets the money?
From the sale of the shredder and the grinder,
yeah.
Or your,
yeah.
The street department?
And whatever. It goes back to wherever you put it in the road.
Wherever it came, wherever you pushed it. We got the research where it was purchased.
Don't go back in the street.
Yeah. But I mean, I just want to, if we go ahead and continue to push these things, getting advertised, if it's okay. If you guys are okay.
Do we need a motion?
Minimum reserve, please, Missy. That's up to. We need a minimum reserve, probably, on
yeah,
this.
That'd be in your motion.
On this equipment. Sorry. Well, I knew she was getting ready to do it, so I thought you better just.
Oh, no, I didn't think.
It was
no,
me.
No.
Oh, sorry.
Well, so what do you want to get out of it? That's the question. What's your bottom line?
These two pieces here, Vicki, that you printed off, did you print these off?
Yes.
Do you know when these were sold?
We just recently went into it, so I think it was just like in the last year when we, you know, we got it off the internet. That's all I can tell you, Lisa.
So
what do you think of the minimum?
Well, I don't think we're going to get, you know, we're probably, if we put them in there and have them bidded on, I don't know for, you know, as long as we get somewhere close to that range, you know, I don't think anybody's going to want to go way over what that's asking, but at least we have something to go off of.
Like the hay buster, it says asking price is $29.99 and it's sold.
Yep.
So what do you want the minimum of that, do you think it would be?
You know, I think we get at least $24.25. I feel like we're doing good. Anything above that, good. You know.
And then on the other one was $42.
You look, I'd say anywhere from $38, $36. You know, if we get that, that'd be great. If we get more, that'd be great. But at least we just got a number there to shoot for, and you know, that money could definitely go in the streets or whatever from there, or you guys decide to do with it later, you know, wherever we'd like to put that money would be entirely up to you guys. Just
okay,
thank you.
Would you advertise in like the Muncie and Richmond paper too?
We can put them out in the sure. Muncie paper. Yeah, we can.
I think you'll take care of that, right?
Yes.
Well, I make a motion that we give Sheen Bosworth and Vicki, I guess, too, permission to list these, permission to list the hay buster for sale for no less than $24,000. And the what?
$24,000?
Yeah. And then the shredder grinder for a minimum of $36,000 with payment of those to be returned back to the street department fund.
It's been motioned and seconded to sell the hay buster and shredder. All in favor?
Aye.
Any further discussion? Thank you. You good, Dave?
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay, motion carries. All right, Vicki, this one's yours. Headwaters Wind Farm LLC compliance with statements of benefit.
This is just something that we, that Headwaters or whoever has tax abatement really for real estate improvements is to do every year. They're supposed to, they send this document and it says that they've complied with the tax abatement, which on this one is actually in its second year. I think it's like at 95%. So if the council, we just really need the council president to say, yeah, we're okay with it and they're in compliance is what I need to say.
You need a motion.
Need a motion.
To have Tom sign it.
There you go.
Yeah, you don't.
Actually, it needs to be, I think, by May 15th.
You need to be sure, Vice President.
I don't.
What is the Headwaters Wind Farm? I don't even know what it is.
That is the, it's the operations building over, north side of town.
Oh, you move that turbine up there?
Yeah, Vision Park, you know what I'm talking about?
For the farms.
But it's not for, it's not the windmill.
It's not the windmill.
And it's not in relation to our windmill.
Oh, but it's.
It's the maintenance shop for 100 windmills out of county.
Yeah, it's a maintenance shop. It's just north of town. They gave them an abatement.
Missy, yeah, in 2014, council gave them an abatement, for, on real property. And that's what this is saying. It's saying that they're in compliance. And this is just something that is required by law.
They have to certify that they have been doing what they said they're doing. So if they haven't been doing what they say they're doing, then they're out of compliance.
And who checks on that?
I imagine state comes in at some point, right?
Okay, I have no idea. I was curious of that.
You have to ask the state. I have no idea if they do that or not.
But what we would need is just what Nick said.
I bet you the state says the city's supposed to do it.
Well, I've been with the city for almost 21 years, and I don't know that anybody's ever checked on it.
We've never checked on those. We've always.
So you need a motion for us to let Tom sign that?
But Tom's not here, so who is the vice president?
Because it needs to be done by May 15th. They just sent it in.
Who is the vice president?
Did we take a vote on that last time? Did we do it, Vice President? I thought we did.
Is it Lisa?
I thought it was.
Sure, Lisa.
You can make a motion to have Lisa sign it.
I'd like to make a motion that we.
I thought it was.
Appoint Lisa as the vice president of the council.
And have her sign.
And have her sign off on needed documents.
A second.
Been motion and second to have Lisa as the vice president of the council sign off on the wind farm, compliance form. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Anybody you gave a tax statement for will have one of those every year.
Sure.
And what's that? It's right up there at the top where it says the approving body. In the middle, right there. Yep. I said that to the council members in your email.
Okay, going into unfinished business, last council meeting we tabled golf carts. So, Councilor Lennington, I know this was your ordinance that you'd like to discuss. You have the floor, sir, please.
Really, I'll let Jim do it.
I'm sorry?
Jim's going to do it.
Jim, you want to do what?
He's going to explain it.
No.
Or what we're going to do.
Okay. Jimenez, welcome back
to the podium. Mo and I seen a need for, there's a small group of us that's golf cart owners. And we started to see where we could ride our golf carts. And
wanted to, we noticed that in the ordinance in 2008 that we had a couple blocks that we couldn't ride uptown because it was set up that way. And so we talked about trying to help out and see if we can travel uptown to buy and sell and shop downtown with our golf carts and open up the ways of some of the towns around us. They're having golf carts coming in their towns. And, the thing that everybody gets kind of upset about is that we're not here to redesign the golf cart. The golf cart's just a motorized vehicle that it just without seat belts and stuff. And I know there's some of us, we put seat belts on our golf cart because we know it's a safety thing, and we have lights on our golf carts. So we Mo and I went out, and if you could tell that the first design on your first piece of paper is an H downtown where we're not allowed to have the golf cart. Easily said is from North Street to South Street, from East Street to West Street, and then up on Franklin. So this is where you're not allowed. Everywhere else in town, you're allowed under 20 miles an hour or not a state highway. So we read that. So on page 2.5, which is the back side, which is highlighted in yellow, we looked at section 6. Where it gives you the description of where it's not allowed at. And so we took that, we drove that and just kind of looked at it for the golf cart owners. We're just a small group of golf cart owners, so it's not like it's a massive thing. And we were just trying to see if we can get the city council to kind of see it our way to drive our golf carts into town in these forbidding areas. So Mo and I, we campaigned, we went out and hit the streets, and we asked the merchants, because this is, the merchants are the ones that's going to be directly involved in all this small golf cart group coming in and out of town. With the same thing as, like when we have parades in town, we break the law because we parade golf carts and whatever. When we have special events, like when we have the Hawaiians in town, we have golf carts in town and it's forbidden, but we welcome the Hawaiians in town with golf cart parade and just welcome them, just doing something different. Winchester's known for always doing something different. So we just kind of took it and just trying to see if the council would see it our way about. Here again, we're not here to redesign the golf cart. The minuses that we've got as we were doing the campaign, the golf cart is not long enough to park in a car space. We understand that because it's a golf cart. The golf cart's not tall enough so you can see over trucks that's parked uptown, the big high trucks as mine, your back is real high and you're trying to back out, you can't see. Well, same thing with a little car. When you have a little car trying to pull out, we have the pros and cons about the golf cart, the size, no seat belts, unsafe. We're just trying to be just part of a growing society that has golf carts in town. That's all that Mo and I just thought. We seen a need, we try to help out, and like I said, it's just a small group, you know. But right now, since 2008, there hasn't been any tickets or citations, and there's golf carts in town now. But I'm glad that the city allows it to have it in a parade. When we have parades, golf carts, and when we have special events like the Hawaiians being in town, and when we have class reunions, there's a class that comes in and we have golf cart for them so they can ride, you know, special events. I mean, I'm glad that Winchester doesn't shut the door on us completely. I mean, we can ride around, but it's just one of those things that we just thought there could be a need. You
want to
add anything to that,
Mom? Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, we did counts 42 merchants in Winchester, and 39 of them said they had no objection to it. Matter of fact, a few of them even thought it was a good idea because it might increase their business. There were three of them that said no. So, you know, I don't know what else we could have done. I mean, because they're the ones that's going to be affected by this. I know the police are another safety part of it too, but actually, it's like, there's only about 20 golf carts down like that. And I just, you know, it don't matter to me if we can't drive there, but I just thought that maybe it would be a good idea, and the merchants seem to agree with that, so we can do with that what we want to. But, and one more thing I might add is that I was looking up some of the ordinances. You know, we have a moped ordinance in 2010. And I've been thinking moped would be more safe than a golf cart, but and they can ride them on the sidewalk. There's no restrictions on mopeds. They can drive them wherever they want to. So, you know, I think the argument about being safety, I understand that, but I think I'd rather be in a golf cart, feel a little safer than I would in a moped. So, I don't know. I'm with Jim. Just something we see while it's going to happen. So.
The other thing, too, as I talked to Vicki this afternoon, that made me feel more protected or whatever, and also with the media being here, is it's just like any driver, you know, it's a thing about how to drive your golf cart, and then if some, and like some of us owners, we have seat belts. Vicki made a very good point to me today that when children are on there, they can bounce out. And that's right. They can bounce out. But that's something that you know, here we're not trying to read, you know, but it's something with the media that when they write it in, said, you know, for golf cart owners to take it a safety measure, you know, just make it a safety measure when Bill's reporting it and Daryl's reporting it on that. That would help out to, you know, take care of it. Because, like I said, we're just a small group. And there's what the population here is 4,000 something. So it's just our plea. We just thought there was a need. So we took our time to do this.
And common sense would be also a pleasure. You always want your kids to bounce out. You wouldn't be careful with that.
So the pink, where you have pink in the streets, those are where you cannot ride a golf cart right now?
Correct. And if we could read this on page 2.5, golf carts do not be operated.
Yeah, why?
It's the same thing. Yeah.
So why can't you ride it on these streets?
So it says you can't.
Well, back the way I understand it, Chief Burke, when this came about, it was for the safety. It was okay to ride, you know, at least we had an ordinance that we could ride golf carts in town. That's the greatest thing, that we can. Yeah. Some cities not allowed at all, not even mopeds at all.
But before that ordinance, they couldn't
ride.
Be
on 32 or something.
Yeah.
That's a state law.
This doesn't reflect it, though.
Yeah.
We're only 30 mile an hour.
Or anything 30 miles
an hour.
Can we just change the ordinance?
It's all the ordinance. All we're asking you is change it.
I have a few questions, if you don't mind. Because if council approves this, then you're done. Nice up deal. So would you be opposed if this amendment were to go in effect to have golf cart registrations? And how much would you be willing to pay for a registration?
I thought about that. I won't answer that. I mean, I know in the 2010 order, you charged $25 to register them.
For mopeds?
the mopeds.
Right.
But to me, the problem we had in 2010 wasn't the fact they were restrooms, the fact that you had too young a driver, you had too many people on the back of it. So by restrooming them, I don't see where that eliminated that problem.
Well, my question
is, the only problem that would have eliminated is the proof of financial responsibility.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
Well, my question stems from if someone parks in a handicap reserve parking spot, where they leave their golf cart in a parking spot for a week because maybe it broke down. How do we remove it? And at whose expense?
And how do we know who it is?
Good point. Yeah, registration would have
a couple more.
When Mo and I got onto this, my assignment was to go to the state out here to the BMV, and I asked, can we look up golf carts and what? They said, sir, there's no registration. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't keep a city from doing registrations,
right.
Right. And to that way, it ensures, as the chief says, sheriff, or chief.
He was a sheriff in this moment.
No, he was a sheriff.
So that is a good point. That way you can make sure that they are insured. Because Vicky's love is just like mine, grandkids. I want them to be here. And if they get in an accident, somebody flies out or whatever, golf cart doesn't have this. We were just trying to kind of keep it in.
But just keep in mind, though, even if there is insurance on a golf cart, the insurance alone is not going to protect a child.
Correct.
My other question is, if you don't mind, you mentioned that other towns are allowing this in their downtowns. Can you tell me which ones?
Union City.
Okay.
Do they have parking like ours around the square where you back out?
Some of it does.
Mostly on right in the main, they're all parallel.
No, in front of corner covered at angle. Yeah. And the rest of it parallel.
So thank you for answering that. My other question is, you mentioned that you went and talked to a lot of merchants, and that's very noble. And you say that they're the ones that's going to be directly impacted. I actually disagree with that. I think it's going to be the residents driving through our streets that are trying to shop downtown that see golf carts, and it might actually be a detour. That's my opinion, because of fear of hitting someone. And it's already tough downtown anyway sometimes. I'm not trying to sway them. I'm just asking questions. You said the merchants will be directly impacted by this. Golf carts are not allowed downtown right now anyway, so I don't know how they're going to be impacted any differently. What's the impact?
It's illegal if you drive them downtown.
Right, but it's like a... You can't say that they're being impacted by not having it because you don't know necessarily that they would increase their business because it's not actually been a thing.
Well, not all said that either. A couple of you I'm dead. But
I appreciate the effort to try to keep the safety in the minds of people who drive golf carts. But I'm going to tell you, if a car hits a golf cart, it will crush it.
Right.
It will absolutely crush it. That's why I wouldn't drive a rocket car.
It's all a matter of responsibility, and there's no way we can charge them $100 that you could charge for responsibility. They got to be responsible on their own.
Just like our bicycles, I don't know if we still have that program for bicycles, to register up here and stuff.
Yeah.
But that was awesome because you had to go through a little test and, your turns and stuff.
No, we don't do anything like that.
We used to back in the day.
Yeah, we haven't done that. Not since I've been here.
15 years.
We still have to stick.
Video games.
So
has that been 65 years to you?
Yeah. That's been 22 years.
Is there a time thing that maybe you could?
That's
put,
what I was just getting ready to say.
Could you put like a certain time period where it's not
right
directly
in
there's
no right time thing in the ordinance.
You can't run after dark.
Hour. Is there something you can say?
If they could do it like after 5 o'clock, because then there's a lot less congestion around the square. And I would assume that's probably when a lot of people are going to be going out and driving their golf carts. Yeah. Most of them.
It's almost like when you guys did the no parking out there at WC, mm-hmm. and that made a big impact. Nobody parks there. Every once in a while there's somebody, but they'll move it.
mean, if you could do...
It makes it easier for traveling, and that's a good point, you know.
I mean, if you could do Monday through Friday after 5 o'clock, and then Saturday and Sunday can be...
I think it'd be a very good idea when you guys start the summer market thing.
Oh, yeah.
That people would be an awesome thing if they could get up there, but it needs to be a refined time period.
Right.
But they couldn't if it's after 5 o'clock.
Well, I'm saying, except on Saturday and Sunday.
So weekends only?
You know, I would say five.
When the courthouse is not open, you have a lot less. I would say after five during the...
Well, first of all, they should allow people to courthouse park around the square.
Jim, here's what...
I'm just trying to...
Here's what I got. I asked some people to go, just, I asked golfers who did not live at the golf course. Three of the five did not live at the golf course. And they had mixed emotions about it. But then, at our meeting 2 weeks ago, I got this text message from one of them. Just now, I almost hit a guy with two kids in a golf cart backing out of the dance studio. This is a, that's traded, but that's not the one I'm going to, traded waiting to happen. He could not see me and I could not see him. That's my issue with it, is during, if you go down there during the daytime, it's hard to see somebody backing out. And if you hit a kid, and I don't know why they haven't been any tickets, because, I mean, and I know you just got to catch them, but I've seen kids driving golf carts. I've seen someone on your street, one of your neighbors who lets their son drive that golf course. Golf cart a lot. That kid is well under 16.
And I've told him this.
And you're not looking for that. I could see it on the weekends, but the market.
I like her idea. Putting that, you're almost doing the same thing as you did out there for the school, which really made a big difference, impact out there at the school when you guys were put at a certain time to a certain time. It just helped
bus
out
driver,
a lot.
Sermon,
but like I said, there's only a small group of us, so, but the mayor's right too, you know, after this, the whole thing will, but Winchester never waits on anything. Winchester's always the leader in dirt, and that's what I'm proud about being here. It's just, you know, we lead on certain things, different ideas. We're not handcuffed to certain things, but we get everybody's emotions, and but we work together, and we make it. You know, today, right now, just a few minutes here, we already got something going, you know, that we hasn't been doing. But we needed that 2008, we needed that one first. We needed that foundation. Now we need to build on it and really spot. And then, you know, we could be the leaders on what, you know, times and stuff. I know it means more signs, but it still makes sense, though, for a community that, I'm on the redevelopment, and we're always trying to look for, you know, how to bring people downtown, how to make them spend, and also the safety. The whole key thing is to be safe. Like I said, it's been working on my heart since Vicki and I talked this morning and or this afternoon, and safety is one of the biggest things. I come out, and I know, because I'm teaching my grandson how to drive. And when we go by Dixie's Dance, I'll be darned if that little girl didn't jump out in front of him. And that's in a car. And this is a young man trying to learn how to drive. So you have that every day. But you got, like I tell him, you got to learn your terrain. And you just work with your terrain. So that's what me and Mo's trying to do. It's not earth chattering, but it's a great thing. It's a good stepping stone to improve some what we have from 2008. This has been in 9 years, so.
Yeah, I would make a motion that we table it until we can kind of figure out if we want to do registration and hours and things like that.
I think they should be rich. Mm-hmm. I think there should be a fee to use them. Sorry, Nick.
You
know,
I agree.
They use the streets just like a guy in the pickup truck, a guy in the car.
The moped drivers and everything else?
Yeah. And I do think, I've changed my mind on this two or three times, but I think the only thing that concerns me about it is the safety issue. That's the only thing that concerns me about it.
And the thing in this ordinance, it tells you about how to be safe. It tells you what you have to have on the golf cart on this ordinance. So when Chief Burke did this, he did his homework. All we were just going to do is just the street. But I love the idea of time factors. And then with the media being here, the safety product portion of it can be added into that. That'll help all of us citizens, right? Especially for us, small group of golf cart owners. But
could it be something that, you know, that we could be proud of, that we did together? That's all I got.
I think there's more than 20 golf carts in the city, I can tell you that. I mean, you may have a group, but there's more that, I mean, we've got three at the golf course, and we have kids riding, driving those things all over, and people fly around that corner out there sometime.
Here again, we're just trying to do the ordinance and not...
I don't have anything against golf carts. I mean, I used to ride them all the time when I was a kid, but...
But here with this too...
No, that was Nikki Owens.
And then with the whole thing too is that I love about our cities, that when we have a parade, we're allowed to go in those places. When we have class reunions, we're allowed special events, like the Hawaiians when they come in. It's neat to kind of have them walking through golf carts and stuff. And just, you know, those kind of things that really help our community. Why come back to Winchester?
Okay.
That's all I got.
Can I say something about the golf cart? Because I own one. Myself, I like going through the stoplights and playing dodgeball out there crossing 32. That's all I got to say. I mean, plus the market, we like to drive up there. It's easy to get in and out. I'd rather go through the stoplight than play dodgeball at the stoplight.
See, I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on.
Okay, we should make a motion.
Oh.
Yes.
I'll second that.
Dave, second.
I'll figure it out. All right, Mark. Motion and second to table. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And table. All right, 214 North Meridian. A couple bids, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Take care of this tonight.
There's someone on this.
I know, they're all over the place, but it boils down to we own that, the city owns this property.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can't tear something down that we don't own.
We own 214 North Meridian.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. Okay, I have one quick question. The one on South Meridian that we tore down, who did that work?
Burton.
And is it done yet? I see that he just brought a dump truck load or a dump truck or a pile of dirt. Okay, that's what I saw the other day, too.
Yeah,
and I think it's been too much to...
Yeah.
To level it and seed it, but the dirt is down there, I see.
But it's been down a couple weeks.
Yeah, but there has been
some dry
a lot
area.
Of opportunity.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, was he planning on, I'm not sure where I saw on his, but he would seed it. It didn't say that. Did it say seed on there, Nikki?
For 520 South Meridian?
Yeah.
I didn't know. Let's look.
502.
502, yeah. Sorry.
Can you give us, you're busy. When you get a chance, can you give us an update on where we are in our budget?
Sure.
For demolition?
Mm-hmm. Oops. Okay, 502 South Meridian first. Here we go. Burton's quote. It reads, all debris will be taken to Randolph County Landfill. All extra concrete will be crushed for recycling. We appreciate your opportunity to bid this project. $7,300.
So it's not. Does it include seating?
Let's see what the specs
say. Did the specs say?
But we didn't actually give them a spec sheet of what we wanted them to do, which I still think we need to come up with.
Absolutely.
Somewhere along the line.
But each one is different, I think, each project.
Yeah.
And we'll do whatever, you know, but I need some guidance. I don't write specs for what you want to fill in with. I think maybe I'll put you on the spot, Sheen. Do you know anything about that?
We figured out.
Okay. Sounds good.
The only difference I've seen between these two for 214.
You still have a hay spreader, so we're good.
Yeah.
You can demonstrate it.
Here was the issue with Burton before, is they didn't have access to any filter, so that's why they waited. And then it got really cold and muddy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where if it's cooling, they have access to all kinds of filter. And so they finished they don't have to wait to get it. Because I called Bill on that one. I thought, I said, you've got a giant hole there. You've got to get that filled in. It's a danger. He said, I don't have any filter. I said, well, you got to get some. Do you have, how much we have working?
I'm working on that one. So we have, I mean, is the fill dirt and the temporary grass seed and straw worth $1,100?
To have a finished product, not to have anybody go out there?
Oh, yeah.
There? Yeah.
Dirt's expensive.
So the dirt's already down on that Shrewsbury level.
No, we're talking, not,
we're talking on a new one.
214. Oh, okay.
214.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
And here's the problem, I mean, if they have a basement, it takes a lot of fill down.
Yeah.
There's $56,786.99.
That's a lot of dirt.
Yes, it is. That's the balance in the capital improvement fund, and that's where council has agreed that the blighted properties, the demolition would be funded through that fund.
Well, I make a motion that we give the bid to Cooley. $8,925, because it's a completed project. Nobody has to go back in. I mean, obviously, somebody, we're going to have to get that seated on South Meridian. It is a finished product, you know, project. They've done, I don't know how many in Richmond that they've done that to. They did the one on West Washington, the Eldon's
Alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that home. He bought that himself. Because it had termites so bad in it, and they were getting infested with them.
So there's a motion on the table.
What was the motion?
To award Cooley the bid.
I second that. For $1,100. What do you think, Kevin? Dirt's expensive.
How much was that?
It's $1,100 more, right?
Cooley's is $89.25 and Burton is $7,800.
Okay. But they're going to get the seat, they're going to seat
it. They're going to seat it and put straw down.
I appreciate that. Sure, everybody.
And you're more going to have to seat and put straw down on South Lane.
I assume.
We can do that.
It's been motioned and seconded to approve Cooley's bid for demolition of 214 North Marion Street. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, Missy, do you want to do blighted housing and unsafe?
Well, I'm going to try it. I just got this in my email from Anastasia. She said she would be here this evening, but she's not. There is a blight clearance grant that is available through the OCRA, which is the Indiana Office of Community and Rural Affairs. You can get actually a block grant for up to $350,000. And there are a couple commercial buildings. One of them, I think, just sold at a tax sale. That was the old American Legion. I don't know what it went for, but that one's out of our realm. But another one is a possible one on the downtown, in the downtown area, that Brody Carter kind of, in our blight committee meetings, kind of drew our attention to that the floors, it's the old Around the Corner Cafe, but your grandfather had it, and dad had it before then, had a fire in it, and nothing's been done to it, and now the floors have caved in, and Brody had somebody who was interested in buying it, so he went in to look at it, and it's got, like all vacant buildings do, now it's got raccoons and who knows what in it, and I think there's some concern that it may actually collapse on them, you know, that the floor goes on. I don't know anything about it. So her name was Jennifer. I don't know if she's got her name on the back of there or not. So I did a phone conversation with her, a conference call with Anastasia of the Randolph County EDC on Friday at about 3:30. And she is a consulting company out of Richmond. So I will tell you afterwards, I met with an aide from the Lieutenant Governor's office, and she said, you need to apply for every possible grant Winchester can get, because the state government's looking very favorably on Winchester right now because of us wanting to step out and try the women's drug rehab, take on that venture. So basically what it boils down to, it's a 10% match. And the engineering fees can be in the grant. The if there's any asbestos or environmental studies need to be done, that can be included in the grant. So just something I'd like for you to think about. It could end up costing us the $15,000 because you have to have an engineer on it because of the size of the building. And then we would probably decide to take it back to a green space, possibly with some benches or whatever else.
I think, I don't mean to speak out of turn, but I think that in these types of grants, you have to leave it a green space for, I think, 7 years at least.
Yeah, I think she told us 5. That doesn't mean we can't put some benches and do something with it, but...
Mm-hmm. And I will say that there are some area businesses that have really voiced some concern about the building as far as kids being able to get up in the building, get on top of the roofs, and the building stinks. It just flat out stinks, and literally stinks. It smells. There's businesses next to it that just...
Have you been in touch with the owner beside him?
Well, as far as any kind of ordinance violation, they're not violating any. There's no...
Nothing?
There's nothing. There's no broken windows or anything of this nature, so... The other issue that we may have with this is, and Missy's absolutely right, it's going to take an engineer to come in there and for demolition because it's attached to two other buildings. And so that's going to be an engineering fee. But nobody wants to do it. Nobody wants to. Speaking of Union City had to do it to one of their buildings recently. I mean, it's just, when buildings are 100 years old and then they're last 10 years of just not been kept up.
I know at one time there was an individual in Winchester that wanted to build a little sitting space with benches and stuff on the courthouse square. Now, whether he's changed his mind about that or not, that's a possibility that they might want to
do it there. Absolutely.
And that was going to be a county venture. That was something the county...
Well, he was going to involve the city, the county, the tourism bureau.
The concept of the economic development, that would be pretty short.
I mean, eventually, after the 5 years or whatever, however long the green space is, I'm sure that there'd be an opportunity to develop that. I know there would be, as a matter of fact. So I think this is an appropriate first step to look into this. Absolutely. We appreciate you bringing it to us, Missy.
Well, you got it on some. We're kind of late getting in on this because we have to have the grant phase ends on, I think, September 21st. She told us on the phone. So we kind of need to get moving forward with it, or at least make a decision we are going to pursue the grant.
Were you anticipating using Anastasia as the lead grant writer for this?
Yes.
And then Mendenhall Associates have worked for the city before.
Yeah.
In fact, they're working for us now with the labor standards. They're a reputable company. So would we have them do any kind of work as
well? They would do some. And their fees, the engineering fees, they really recoup those, I think, when the grant's secured. Mm-hmm.
Well, the Mendenhall Associates, they're actual grant writing consultants. Yeah.
Anastasia would assist them, I think.
I gotcha.
I think they are the ones who would walk us through everything, come up with all the paperwork, and some of it has already been done. Brody Carter's actually got an estimate on tearing that building down because someone was thinking about purchasing it and rehabbing it, and they found out. I think Brody said it was going to be like $250,000 to go in and just shore the building up before any cosmetic improvements were done on the inside. And that was, it's not worth it.
I believe at an economic development meeting, we had a guy from the preservation, you remember that, come in there, and I think he said it was it was, we shouldn't do that, you know, it's too far gone to.
Well, yeah.
Probably.
Well, the Indiana landmarks, they're always going to promote saving it.
I think the estimate Brody got on taking that building down was minimum of $180,000. And they thought that was a pretty good guess, but I think it's going to go over that. And they really, and that's not, if you want to put a mural on one of those other side buildings, if you want to paint the other side building, put a mural like they've done in, you know, some other cities that look pretty good. That's not counting on any unforeseen things. So I think she wants to go high. And if you don't use the money, you can return it back to them. But if you need it, you didn't apply for it.
That's right.
And the building would also need to be purchased. But I'm curious why an unsafe, if we have an unsafe building code, if some of that's kind of stuff, then we've got to get to fall in there to see what it is.
Do we have an ordinance violation for unsafe building?
Sure we do.
Well, yeah, we do. But it's the same one as, yeah, you write the owner, and then when the complaint goes to me, he sends it through. The...
Can that building not be cited then?
I've looked at several times.
Yeah, I mean,
honestly,
we're not engineers, and without.
But if the floor is falling,
you can't see it.
You can't see it, so I can't. Yeah. I can't legally go in it.
Has a brick fallen off yet?
They opened a window has before.
Yeah.
Well, they fixed it.
Oh, yeah. Now, one time there was a door.
When a fire has.
That's what you didn't see.
Do we have any?
We have that.
I know what they do.
They just go in. But, and I guess here, at least the fire department's across the street.
Well, like this one, it's got fire in, but it's not been fixed.
I was under the impression that the guy just wanted to get rid of.
He's under the nuisance. It says if your building has been damaged by fire or other casualty,
and if it's vacant for 1 year,
yes, then you can go inside.
Yep.
So far.
No, and I'm not doubting. I'm about saying once we write it, then 30 days it comes to you to
exactly. File. But by that time, the city council will need to be prepared either.
Yeah, and that's not a problem. I mean, that can be done tomorrow.
Do something.
I think we're going to need to move because, you know, like she said, public hearing needs to be held in June, and then start moving forward with acquiring the building, writing the grant, which they are prepared to do. Have to have an engineer. We have to have an environmental specialist come in. That's the engineer also who's going to look through it again and tell you whether it has asbestos in it, whether they can, you know, does it have to be abated before they can go in and actually tear the building down, or is it just a demolish? Can you just demolish it and haul stuff out? And until they go in and look, they won't know that.
I just have a question. We don't own the property.
Make arrangements to purchase it?
You have to make arrangements to obtain it.
Okay.
And they will sell it. It's for sale.
I'm telling you, $350,000 is going to tear that down.
What'd you say, Meeks?
If $350,000 tears that down, I'll be surprised. See, when they wanted to tear down the infirmary, they were talking $300,000 to $400,000, and there's no balls attached to that one. And that's a big building. I mean, they're both big buildings, right?
Yeah.
They were just going to bury that on site.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just want to say that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just know what they told us.
I mean, there's really no other option than to proceed forward with this, because if it does deteriorate any further, it's right on the main corner of Main and 32. I mean, it's a liability.
Yeah,
and as far as tomorrow, yeah, we're sending papers.
We can call her.
That's not a problem.
Richmond, because it's
possible. You know, by the end of the month, they will be past their time to be able to fix it.
Well, there are no blight grants for homes. I mean, that blight cycle is over, and they don't know if it's going to... I mean, the ones who got it again. So if you got it the first time, you got rewarded for what you were doing, and you got more money, and it was in the millions for some cities. Mm-hmm. So that one is really gone. I understand the city has to bear the burden of tearing some houses down when you get them back. I mean, we can leave them you can leave them stand and not do anything, but then the problem is, then you have, they're all over town the way it is, you're making no improvements in your city as far as getting rid of houses that are really, in my opinion, dangerous too. Don't just look bad, but they're dangerous mm-hmm. because of what's going on in some of them. Well, what do you guys want me to do on this? I mean, I'll just tell them, are we interested? Are we not interested? Are we moving forward? I don't know.
We're interested.
Well, I could, in that same vein, I think this council wants to move forward. I think in that same vein, I could approach the owners of the building and ask them if they would be interested in selling to the city. Are you interested in buying?
I think we need to do...
I mean, if you are, you're taking on all the responsibility of it.
Well, I'd say,
again,
do we have to purchase it before we even buy it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Can we agree to purchase it after?
See what the grant says.
Well, this says the upfront cost to make the application deadline is less than $10,000, and only the application fee cannot be considered a local match. So I guess what I'm just saying is, it's $10,000.
Give them an option to purchase. You can have an option to purchase as long as the grant says. Right. You can draw that up, and then if you get the grant, you just don't exercise the option, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you have to have it under 18-month option to purchase by the time of the application.
Just if Sean wants to talk to him, I can drop an option to purchase it there, big quickly.
Then we don't have to ask. We don't have to offer the.
Can't offer price. More than the fair market value. You can do less.
Right.
Yeah.
I think they wanted $19,000 for it. Can we offer less?
Yes.
What did
you say? You can offer less. You can't offer more.
Right. But I didn't know how much less.
$1?
No.
$1?
No,
exactly.
$1,000.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure.
Did they pay you to take
it? Somewhere. Pretty quickly.
They couldn't pay me enough to take it.
They got the, she said, the owner said you're right one night and told us that she got, they got the insurance money from
twice.
So Sean talks to him and it's an agreement that we can draw it up and bring it back to the council?
Yeah, we'll draw it up. I'll see if they'd be interested in signing it.
Just let me know what the numbers are, Sean, and we'll bring it to the council.
And Vicki, how soon again?
Is Carter selling? Mm-hmm.
No, he just got approached by somebody. Can you see if I can? They were interested in buying it. I thought they could.
So it's not listed.
No.
Okay.
I thought there was a sale.
I think there's listed.
With somebody.
How long do you have to advertise a public hearing?
10 days.
10 days.
So we could get that in.
Yeah.
June. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have a special meeting for it to get these. They need to be held in June.
We've got time for that. But you don't want to take it from me. You need to get it moving. One of those you have to
have a lot of people out. They want all the people out.
Yeah.
That's one of those.
Mm-hmm.
It's
one
that you definitely
want to have. All right. Did you see the street cookies? That's the
thing. That's the thing. Well, we
have
to decide
is
an
MC
filled
in
the
first.
Okay.
Yeah,
that'll
be done tomorrow. Yeah, okay. But. Okay. That still doesn't change it's somebody else's property, right?
Right.
So
they might be more willing to.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You go in there, or be careful because Brody says the basement is also
flooded.
He said it's really dangerous. He would not advise anybody walking in
there. No,
I think we better wait to issue that until after I talk to
you. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
Don't do it tomorrow.
All right.
I'll tell you the other problem with those buildings is they make it some different brick on the inside walls. So when you take the inside wall out of that one, so you have a soft brick. And so now you have to pay money to shore up the next person's walls. Mm-hmm. Because they tore out the by Tom Batt. Farther towards the... And they have all sorts of holes in those walls. Above the, it used to be Bob Oliver, it used to be where Tom was. There was a third floor there. Still somebody owns that third floor. That's interesting. Anyway, it's not third floor there. But if you looked at that wall, you could put your, I saw the things, you could put your foot, fist through that wall because it's just soft brick.
Okay.
Just to let you guys know, that's why the cost is going to be.
We've got some direction here. Appreciate that. Anything else missing on Glider Housing?
No.
Great.
So did we approve? We approved Cooley's, right?
Mm-hmm. We did. Mm-hmm.
Vicki, do you want to call them and tell them?
Sure. Okay. Yep. I'll notify them.
Okay. Vicki, do you have anything, unless there's anything else, in White Houses?
I got one more thing to say. I never thought about that stoplight deal. Maybe, that is a good point. Because it is your only place to actually cross the highway to go home or wherever you, you know. That is a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
Vicki, your report?
No.
The only thing I have is that this morning the county commissioners agreed to a $118,000 economic development grant for the Winchester House.
Great, Jimmy.
With that, I'm going to...
One more thing,
yes.
Sorry. Thanks to the fire department who came out the week before last and did showed kids. We had a group of freshmen and some eighth graders and some sixth graders. About, oh, I don't know, but they did it in two things out there. They really did a great job of doing it.
It's awesome.
And we talked about careers and firefighting and police officers and all that kind of stuff. And those kids, I heard a lot about that. They really...
Everybody loves firemen.
Yeah, they do.
Motion to adjourn?
Some of
them. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned.
I'll make a motion that we need to see Ron about how many more meetings.
Oh, no. That's a beauty. And I sit right beside you.
I don't know.
What is your name, man?
I'm Daryl. Daryl from the news. You had made a good comment.
Hey, Nancy.
Yeah, big promotion.
You got a lot of money, Rich. Oh, yeah. Rich and I went to school together.
So you got
and that's exactly what I said.